The teaching of the Holy Spirit is one of the most prominent ideas in all of Scripture. From Genesis chapter 1 to the very end chapter of the Revelation, we read of the Holy Spirit. Literally hundreds of references to Holy Spirit. In the New Testament alone, there are 244 specific references to the person of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to begin a 6-week series on Holy Spirit. Next week, the Holy Spirit and unbelievers. Then what is the work of the Holy Spirit with believers? We'll look later in the summer about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that Paul mentioned. And then finally, what does it mean to be filled with Holy Spirit? This morning, the question is this: who is this guy or gal? How do we get our basic understanding of Holy Spirit? It's a preacher-sounding word, but really it was Jesus' word for Holy Spirit, the paraclete. Para, alongside of, kaleo, to call. The paraclete, the one called to walk alongside of. It's a powerful word. And as a matter of fact, we don't have a word in our English vocabulary, not one word, to describe the breadth and the depth of Holy Spirit. Your translation, King James, talks of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. My translation that I tend to use to preach from, the NIV, talks of the Spirit as the Advocate. New American Standard, that the Helper and the Counselor. I love the Message, who calls the Spirit my friend. Jesus said, but when this Helper, this Advocate, this Counselor, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've spoken. I hope you have your Bible. John chapter 14, the intimate words of Jesus. Let me read two verses, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, advocate, counselor, someone to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Three things about the Holy Spirit to help our understanding. The first is this: the Holy Spirit is a personal being. Don't miss that. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit, he or she, not a power, but an actual person. Now, electricity, that's a power. Wind, I think, is a power. Solar energy is a power. But the Holy Spirit is a person. A person. And we know this because Scripture refers using personal pronouns every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Jesus didn't say, it will be with you. No, Jesus said, he will be with you. Matthew 14, 26. Using the masculine, not the neuter form. John 14, 15 and 16. Personal pronouns and the Holy Spirit are always used together. And besides that, there are distinct characteristics of personality that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Holy Spirit discerns. Ephesians 4, it's the Holy Spirit that grieves. 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit chooses. Now, an it can't do that. Those are personal personality descriptions. Also, the actions of the Holy Spirit. I've never seen an it who can search, but the Holy Spirit does. Romans 8, the Holy Spirit prays. In John 14, verse 26 that I read, the Spirit teaches. In chapter 15, it's the Holy Spirit that witnesses. Boy, this is important. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. The Holy Spirit, not some inanimate power that you can use or that I can control, but a personal presence, the presence of God at work in our world, in our life. The Holy Spirit is someone that you can have a relationship with. Think about it. A relationship just like with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is personal. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is parallel or equal to God the Father, Christ the Son. Now, I grew up, my theology was rotten. Here's what I pictured. I pictured God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. Insignificant. I had this whole big, this was God, and this was Jesus, and then the Spirit. That's terrible theology. Jesus said, I will ask the Father in verse 16, and He will give another counselor, comforter, friend. He will give another just like me. That's that word, another. Another of the same kind. Not another of a different kind, but the Holy Spirit is the same quality, the same kind as Christ and God. The Holy Spirit is the full manifestation of God, just as Jesus is the full manifestation of God. Indeed, like God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is also eternal. Hebrews 9. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, Psalm 1. He is holy, Paul said, Romans 1, 4. The Holy Spirit is life, Romans 8, 2. And in our text, John 14, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, parallel, equal to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a part of God or less than God or a substitute for God. The Spirit is God. Now think about what's happening in John 14. Jesus is preparing for the cross, the resurrection event, and the ascension. He'd walked with these disciples. They'd given everything. And remember how 14 begins, let not your hearts be troubled. Hang on, guys, I'm going to be leaving, but someone's coming. Someone is coming that will walk with you. Someone like me that you can count on. Everything I have done for you, Holy Spirit will do for you. Those things that I have taught you, Holy Spirit will teach you. Such intimate words of Jesus that John records and he remembers as Jesus told about the coming Spirit. Church, when we abide in the Holy Spirit, you're abiding and living with Jesus Himself. The Holy Spirit, another comforter, just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit continuing the ministry that Jesus began on earth. The Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, picks it up. The Holy Spirit, parallel. Holy Spirit's a person that is parallel to God. And the Holy Spirit is permanent. Verse 16, I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate, a helper, a friend that will help you and be with you forever. Forever. Forever in the Greek means until the end of the age. Forever is really forever. As long as there is life on earth, the Holy Spirit will be with you. And then the Old Testament, you know, the Spirit came and the Spirit would leave. The Spirit was more of a temporary presence that came upon a person's life, enabling her or enabling him to accomplish a task, a purpose for God. And then the Spirit would leave. But after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and abides in the heart of every believer forever. At that moment of salvation, when we confess Christ, that Holy Spirit comes to dwell and live with us forever. Oh, what a promise! What a promise! The Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, your friend with you forever. If we could grasp that truth, that the presence of God is with us forever. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading a commentary studying about the Holy Spirit. I don't read commentaries as deeply as Sutton does, but I was reading some. Sutton had borrowed most of my good ones, so I was reading some. And I found this paragraph. I want you to hear it. If the idea of permanence of the Holy Spirit ever captures our spirit, we will never have another moment of fear as long as we live. We will never have another moment of loneliness as long as we live. We will never have another moment of paralyzing anxiety as long as we live. We will never again stand timid before a task as long as we live. We will never be inordinately concerned about what other people think, for we will know that God is with us until the end of the age forever. I love that quote. As a matter of fact, I made a copy of it and put it in the back of my Bible to be reminded of the permanence, Christ, Holy Spirit in me forever. I made copies of this. It may not grab you like it does me, but if you want one as you leave, look for a piece of paper that color in the foyer. It was 1973, and I was 10 years old. The summer before, at Vacation Bible School, I had professed my faith in Christ at First Baptist Church of Burnet. The next year, in August, the church decided to have a revival, a summer revival, a summer revival, but this is going to be better, outside under a tent on the church parking lot in the asphalt with the folding chairs. Hot August tent outside week-long revival. Now, they were going to start later, 7:30, because it's a lot cooler in Burnet, Texas at 7:30 than at 7 o'clock in the summer. And they strung these lights under the tent. Well, as a kid, this was great. I mean, getting to be outside, you didn't have to sit in the church. It was great. And so, one night was pack-a-pew night, and one night was invite your friend, and one night was Sunday school night, and one night was music night, and one night was youth night. But it was a lot of fun. But on that night, of course, they passed out these mimeograph sheets of every hymn. You knew all the words, but they were great fans. You could make airplanes. Your mother would grab it from you in about 30 seconds and say, no, no. And you would sit there, and those chairs would even start sinking in the asphalt because it was so hot. But that night, after the music minister sang and sang and sang, the evangelist came. Now, this is very vivid in my mind. It was hot, and he's wearing a three-piece suit. He's a rather large evangelist with a big neck, and his collar didn't, and his tie was, 73. His tie was huge. And this night, he began to preach on the Holy Ghost. And Ghost had two syllables. It just amazed the Holy Ghost. And it was dark in those lights. And the Holy Ghost is going to come down upon you like tongues of flames of fire. The Holy Ghost is here to convict and convince and to move. And some of you feel the ghost. Well, I got as close to my mama as I could. I was scared. It was dark, a little bit of breeze, humid breeze, and those lights were moving, and he was going on and on. The Holy Ghost is coming to you, and he's in this room, you see, and you feel him. I'm sure he said, it is here. Well, after about 45 minutes of the sermon about the Holy Ghost, they had an invitation. I'd already made a profession of faith, but I had to rededicate something. I ran down that aisle, knew that I had sinned in my life, and volunteered to be a missionary in the Congo. I was scared to death of this Holy Ghost guy. It was wonderful because that night afterwards it rained. And it rained all the next day. And when my father came home that evening, he said, they've removed the revival to inside the church auditorium. And I knew the Holy Spirit would never make his way to the auditorium. And we wouldn't have to sit outside. Well, I'm glad that my understanding of Holy Spirit is a little different. The Holy Spirit, a person who longs to have a relationship with you. A person who is parallel, equal to God and to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, a friend, a comforter, an advocate. The Holy Spirit, divine, eternal, and holy. He is God, and He's permanent as long as life endures until the end. I need not be afraid or anxious because the Holy Spirit's in me, with me, for me, a part of me. Thanks be to God that He knew my need and He knows your need and He cares. When Christ ascended to the Father, as Jesus said, He sent the Spirit. Christ in us is Holy Spirit in us. Thanks be to God for His Spirit. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we sing, mold us, make us, break us. Holy Spirit, thank you, God, that you knew we needed that person in our life. Not an it, not a thing, but a person. And that this person was not secondary to God and was not an afterthought. This person from the very beginning, the creation of all time, God knew His plan was that that Spirit, He would live in us and abide with us and strengthen us and encourage us and hold us. That nothing would separate us from that Spirit. Oh God, I pray that in the weeks ahead, You'll continue to show us, empower us, and yes, change us with that Holy Spirit. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.